everybody. Welcome back to Pain. This is episode 180. 180 fun-filled weeks of us bringing you all the news that you want to hear about, that Microsoft users are pinging up each other about. And this week we have a special in-studio guest. It's Paul Messmaker, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, how are you?
Oh, what brought you here? I have been brought here because I am now traveling the world for 3.5 months.
So you're doing a brief stint in Seattle. I think you said you leave tomorrow.
Yep, leave tomorrow morning. Wanted to come here and film some Ping.
And then what's on your map of world travels?
Going over to the cultural center of the U.S., the Midwest. Going to go see my parents in Michigan, and there's a wedding.
Real quick, right?
For like 5 days.
All right, okay.
And then there's a wedding in Chicago. I'll be there for a few days. Then back to see my parents for a couple days, and then
you
back.
You like those people.
Yeah. Oh. I know, it's weird.
Weird. Yeah.
And then back to Chicago to fly to the Maldives, which is like a 24-hour plus excursion. I have to go through Istanbul. I hear there are some raves or parties or something going on there now.
It's not Constantinople. Constantinople.
There you go.
There you go.
I'll be in the Maldives for a couple weeks, then I'll be in Barcelona for 2 months.
Yeah. Barcelona's fun. I actually just got back late last night, from New Orleans.
Yeah? How was that?
My first experience in New Orleans. It's amazing. It's probably my new favorite city in the world. not place, because I prefer a tropical setting.
Okay.
But the weather feels like tropical. We'll get there. We'll get to why all the fabulous reasons I was really there, not just Bourbon Street, later on in the show.
Yeah, I don't see any beads.
Oh, I earned my beads. I didn't earn them, although it's not difficult to earn them. So we were down for a week or two?
Well, something like that. Probably just a week.
Down for just a brief minute because of all this traveling. And hopefully we will figure out a way to not be down for an entire 2 months while Paul is gone, because I know you guys will go through withdrawal. And I wanted to, so some of the stuff we talked about in the message boards, people were talking about Kinect for Sleep Motion, a lot of good content there, but I'm not going to know what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk about Amerisun's comment. Apparently I said Adam Every, and you corrected me, and you said it's Alan Every, and I said, yes, that's what I said. And he thought I was making a joke. But really, I just don't listen that closely to what Paul says. So, like, whatever I can say really quick to just get him to shut up so I can keep talking.
Yeah,
it seems like just agreeing with him would be the best, you know, the shortest distance between point A and point
right.
B.
Right, and I think,
to get that to happen.
I think what
he's going to talk again.
I think what Amerisun is saying is that he just loves the dynamic where we both know that I'm right, but I give you that space so that you can keep running with it. And he's like, yeah, he's going to use that in a meeting next time the business owners say the specification's wrong 3 times in a row.
There you go. Yeah, perfect. What he said. Should we start the show, Paul?
Yeah, let's start the stove.
Let's not start the stove. All right, so as we just mentioned, I flew in late last night from New Orleans, because I was at Tech Ed 2013. Have you ever been to any Tech Ed?
I've been to like 4 or 5 Tech Eds.
You have?
Yeah, I was a speaker at almost all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you. Tech Edding.
Yeah.
Educating the techs.
SQL Server.
Right. So we made a bunch of really cool announcements, which we're going to get to, but one of my projects at this year's Tech Ed was to meet up with alumni. And the people who've gone to many Tech Eds before, obviously, and they have formed this group amongst themselves called The Crew.
The Crew.
K-R-E-W-E. And what it is, it's got like 500 or 600 members, and you guys can join either if you're interested in going to Tech Ed, or you've been to many Tech Eds, or you really just kind of want to learn what the Tech Ed experience is about, but maybe your company doesn't want to send you to Tech Ed, whatever it is. It's a general Tech Ed discussion group.
Okay.
But they meet up, they have meetups all around the world, and then in the times that they're not at Tech Ed, it's like an online support group for everything you maybe have questions about, really, really deep technical stuff. I was abused to them on most
of
their questions.
Yeah.
But really, really deep technical stuff, IT pros, devs, who are there to really help each other find solutions. And it's just an amazing resource that I learned about through my interviews of people on the show floor. And I think that I'd like to get it out there that if you guys want to join us, K-R-E-W-E, The Crew.
All right. And so this is not affiliated with Microsoft in any way.
It's just a user group, but they've got T-shirts, they've got a Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah, a Facebook
page. This is pretty legit.
I think their website is imcrew.org, K-R-E-W-E. They just relaunched a new website. They had various meetups during their time at TechEd. And while I was talking to people, which is what I do.
Of course.
I talk to people.
Yeah.
About what they were excited about this upcoming TechEd, some of the announcements, which we're going to get to in a second. A lot of what they were excited about was being able to meet up with each other, the networking opportunities that TechEd presents, which is an immeasurable experience. Because as much as you can watch the sessions and online and download the content, it's really about, you know, face-to-face and talking to your people down at TechEd.
I've found that in going to conferences that people that go there, they get some stuff out of sessions, but you can usually watch a lot of those sessions like on Channel 9 later on demand. So when you're actually ready to learn and implement that stuff, you can rewatch it. But the connections that you make, the being able to meet the product team, being able to meet other contractors or potential future employees or companies that you could go work for, it's just a great experience to go kind of, you know, relax, shoot the breeze, and like go meet some folks after hours.
And now you can continue that sort of networking experience after TechEd with the crew. Sure. You know, I think there's like some sort of initiation that you have to go through in order to become a member.
Paddling.
Some sort of, like hazing. No, I'm just kidding. I think you just need to sign up.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of the announcements we made at TechEd. Some exciting stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super exciting
stuff.
Visual Studio 2013 was officially announced, and they have some really interesting features that they have.
Now, didn't they just do an update to Visual Studio 2012? I believe they just...
Visual Studio 2012. Some people...
And then they updated it, and now that's a lot of Visual Studios. People, it's a busy team.
Yeah. I mean, I think that from a developer productivity point of view, it's awesome to have tools that are constantly revved.
Right.
I think, though, that with the amount of changes that go into releases like Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013, there are many larger enterprises that want to standardize, and they have to choose a version, or they feel like they have to choose a version so that the entire team uses the same thing. So some developers are a little miffed in that, like, things are coming out so quickly.
Yeah.
I think overall people just want a continually improving
editor. Well, you can't just sit back on your laurels. Technology will pass you by.
Yep. But when you have as many customers as Microsoft has, there's always going to be the minority of like, oh man, we just updated this thing. Now there's this. There's so many things coming out. But there is some really cool stuff, like a new extensibility system that allows new types of indicators to help analyze your code.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are, like, I know you code all the time, and sometimes
I do when I'm not in New Orleans.
Yeah, you might be a little hazy, and you have like a lot of coupling that goes on between functions or between classes, and there can just be a whole lot of complicated code. And there are new extensions that allow you to see, like, a Visual Studio will analyze your code and be like, hey, it seems like this is a fairly complicated chunk. You may consider refactoring it. Oh, there's a new memory diagnostics feature. It's similar to the IntelliTrace that came out a year or two ago, where you are now, as the DevOps persona, so a developer who has to support an application that's live in production, would be able to take, basically memory dumps from production and compare those to other types of memory dumps, either other production memory dumps or developer or like things in your test environment, and you can see like the difference between the two. So if you have a memory leak that only happens in production, perhaps you'd actually be able to figure out how that has happened by looking at this data.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're in your development environment, sometimes it doesn't perfectly match the production environment, so you can't reproduce these issues because it doesn't have realistic enough data, the size is different, the environment's different.
Wow.
So there's all sorts of really great stuff that's in 2013, and I look forward to testing it out.
Do you want to see what my favorite thing was about Nolens?
Oh dear.
So this was I'm going to show it to you guys too. This was in the back of don't go scrolling. This was in the back. I'd like you to read that out loud.
Upon request,
no, this
receive.
Part.
Oh. killing of a taxi cab driver may be a first-degree murder offense in the state of Louisiana, punishable by death.
By death. So if you were thinking of, so that's the education I got in New Orleans. If I was thinking of, you know, offing the cabbie,
yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah, I like that. That it's not just any person, it's specifically...
Right, and it's not guaranteed, it just isn't maybe.
Right.
It may be a first-degree murder, maybe not, maybe it deserved it.
Anyway, check out Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013. Let us know what you guys like, and maybe we'll drill in onto it in a future episode.
Don't go killing any cabbies. All right, Paul, so one of the things I've complained about recently, I mean, in addition to all the things that I've complained about recently, but one of the things that are relevant to this show...
I don't know. There's still things that are very irrelevant.
Is, you know, and a lot of people have complained about this, is the lack of the start button on Windows 8. Right? You've heard this. This is not news to you.
It hasn't been news for years.
Right.
And...
People miss it. They love it. They want it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to discover, like, how do I get back without having a little button there?
Right.
Like, it's not hard to learn. Like, like it's, you can throw your mouse in that corner. You can watch, you know, Scott Hanselman.
There's a lot of ways to get back to the start screen.
Yeah.
You don't need the button.
Yeah.
But, you know, people want the button.
Yeah.
They like a button. So anyway, apparently in a new video was just released showing some features, a preview of Windows 8.1. And you spoke. We listened, not me personally, but someone at Microsoft is giving you back a button.
Yep.
Right? So this is exciting.
Yeah, the Windows User Experience team has put out a little 4.5-minute video giving a preview of Windows 8.1, including such highlights as start button being there.
Button.
They also have photo scrolling on the lock screen, so if you have a Windows Surface RT, then you would be able to have your lock screen just have photos that are scrolling through.
One thing that I'm going to request, I don't know if you guys at the Windows User Experience are listening, so I wonder if it's similar to my Windows Phone. So on my Windows Phone, you know, like the people that come up in my People Hub, like it's just a random mishmash of all of my Facebook friends, you know, or the photographs that come up. If I favorite them, I can pick which photos it syncs through or scrolls through. But if I don't, it just scrolls through all my photos everywhere. So I'm hoping, and I don't know the answer, but I'm hoping on the Windows 8.1 lock screen, you'll have some sort of way to really control which photos.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because I don't want it pulling through all my photos.
Of course.
Especially,
I understand. Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to choose that. I think that there's been photo scrolling screensavers in Windows for quite some time, and you can choose the very specific photos, whether they're in a directory or certain tags, and I'm sure it'll all work well with whether it's even locally
it
on your device.
Because it pulls from your phone, it pulls from SkyDrive, it pulls from like your Facebook albums. Like it's pulling from all your photos.
Yeah.
Who knows what's out there?
Oh, yeah. I've taken tens of thousands of pictures. I can only imagine what's hidden in those beauties. Other things I think are really cool, the multitasking that was in Windows 8 for the native apps allowed you to have basically a three-quarter screen and like a quarter or a fifth or something that shows up on one side. Now they allow it so that you can resize that bar in the middle, and you can have it so that each app takes up half your screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have larger monitors, like if you're using Windows 8.1 on a desktop, you can have up to four native apps that are all working side by side.
Which I really like, and one of the examples is if I'm in my mail application and someone sends me a picture, it clicks out to the pictures application, and then I need to go back to the mail, where now we can just literally open it up in the side panel, so I'm never, you know, without the application that I fully want to be in. So that's really, really cool.
Yep. So it looks like there are a lot of the types of things that people have wanted, and now that Windows 8 has been out there in the marketplace for a while, they have all sorts of good data, and they're able to refresh the user experience in some very focused and important
areas. You know, I got
areas.
Another thing about this picture thing.
Oh, yeah?
Just saying.
I can only imagine how relevant this comment
will be. It's relevant because, you know, sometimes it scrolls through, you know, your pictures, and I'll look at my phone or Windows 8 or wherever, and I'll be like, oh, my God, that's such a cool picture. I totally forgot I had the picture, and I want to click on it and have it open to that picture so I can relive that wonderful memory, and that doesn't even have that feature. So
no,
I'm just putting that as a suggestion.
It's probably not going to be there.
I would like that.
So I bet someone in our Niners community could make that for you.
Well, here's another thing that I have then, too. So in your People Hub, you know, this is mostly for phone, but whatever. In your People Hub, so I've got all these people, And sometimes their pictures are small and sometimes they're big, whatever. Like, and I'll be like, oh my God, I haven't talked to so-and-so in so long, but there's his face
right.
on my phone. I want to click on him
yep.
and go to his page. Maybe I don't even remember his name.
Yeah.
And then once he's gone, because when you click on him, it doesn't open his,
yeah,
his exact profile.
I've had the same thing with Windows Phone where there'll be like a really cute picture of a girl or something there.
Right.
Like,
who's that? How do I know her? Yeah. She's gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I scroll through like thousands.
So we need to work on our matchmaking capabilities here at Microsoft. So it's
yeah. help that
the
serendipity.
Dating services here at Microsoft are struggling.
Yeah.
But 8.1 looks great.
It does.
Oh, another thing that people were upset about. Everyone's got so many complaints, you know, all these gripes. And
yeah.
then we bring them to the forefront and congratulate them for complaining by yeah. making it a news story here on Ping.
And then,
that was my phone.
And then Microsoft stock price goes way through the roof.
Yeah, either way, which is a good a win-win. So one of the things people were like confused about, I'm going to say, is the way sharing and loaning and reselling of games is going to work with Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people like to play their game on buy their disc, and then they take it to GameStop or wherever, and they sell it, and they take the money and then go buy a new game or whatever, soda pop, whatever
right.
it is.
That's probably what they buy. They buy soda pops.
You never know. I've been in New Orleans. That's what they call it. And so there's confusion about how this was going to work. And Microsoft just released an official statement clarifying that you actually there are ways to share. And essentially, if you are one of the things which I think we were talking about, if you're logged in as you,
yep.
I can play my games because my games live linked to my account in the cloud. I can play them from anywhere.
Right. So
which
that
is cool.
that's kind of a cool new experience
yeah.
where like you can go. You know, visit your friends. You don't have to bring anything with you. You just log in.
Just my account, and I've got my entire games library right there. You know, because I've had when friends wanted to come over in years past, and like, oh, bring over, you know, the new Madden game. I don't have it, and then they got to bring it. And like, you know, it's a pain. And then you leave it there, and then it gets beer spilled on it. It's a pain in the ass. Now, lives in the cloud.
Right.
Don't have to worry about that.
But with all these new features. There
yeah.
are also some things that that were confusing. So being able to trade in or resell your disc-based games, you with the new Xbox One, the Microsoft has now given publishers the option of whether or not their games can be resold.
Right.
And publishers then need to make the choice of are we enabling it for this game, or are we not enabling it for this game?
Right, which so, is going to get sticky, I feel like.
Yeah,
this should be a strict policy.
Now, there could be, and Microsoft makes no money in this. Like, there are no fees
right.
For any of the trading, but the publishers can require that fees get implemented, but Microsoft does not require that. So
right.
if a publisher wants to sell a game for $40, and then you want to give that game to a friend, the only restrictions that Microsoft places on it is that that person has to be a friend of yours through the Xbox Live system.
For 30 days!
And they have to be your friends for at least
bizarre.
30 days.
Why?
I imagine this is like some type of piracy thing, so like you can't like go find some random person on the internet and then have a copy of the game.
It completely goes against our new and just invented Microsoft dating policy, where it's like if I'm going to be at the club and I want to pick up so-and-so, hey.
Check out my Chivos.
Check out my game, yo. And then I want to give him the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'd rather have someone give me a game than a drink. But they can't give me their game anymore
well,
unless I'm their friends
friend
for 30
days.
But by then,
there goes
the one-night stand.
Yep. And the game can also only be given once. So you can't re-gift.
So think of how special I would feel.
Of course.
If somebody gave me their game after just meeting me, this would be flowers and butterflies and rainbows. I mean, it's love.
Yeah.
That's love.
Now, I think this could be a really interesting thing. If game publishers can make more money by doing this, I would hope that if there are restrictions that are being placed onto the end consumer,
mm-hmm.
that the price of the game and the price of transferring it to somebody is reduced to some significant amount.
A dollar? Maybe five.
Like instead of like a $40 title or a $60 title, I would hope that new titles, if they do have these new types of restrictions on them, would be at a lower cost. But this is all to be determined. I don't know if we'll hear more at E3
yeah.
or if it will be like a per publisher, per game type of thing.
And then if someone's in your family, you can share the game with up to 10 family members. I don't have 10 family members, so you can, you know, sometimes your friends are your family. I'm just saying, there's a lot of ways where you can share the game for free. So, should be an answer for everyone. I'm interested to see how this works out with the third-party publishers and why anyone would opt out and what fees, like you mentioned, people are going to start charging, because I think that's going to weigh heavily on people's decision to buy the game in the first place.
Sure.
You know, whether or not you're going to get some sort of action out of it at the rear end and the other side.
All right, let's do the next story.
All right, Paul, so it seems just in time for you. I'm sure the schedule's aligned to coordinate with your world travels.
Clearly.
Bing has released a new translator app called Bing Translator, available for Windows 8 and I think Windows RT.
Yep. Because I'm using it right here.
Which is going to give you support of more than 40 languages. So when you're in Barcelona, which you're going to come across a lot more people who speak things other than English and Spanish.
Right, they'll be Catalan.
There you go. I know that one by heart. You know that one, right?
Actually, I don't know Catalan all that well. Oh. But
well, Bing Translator probably does.
Bing Translator also
And you
does
can
it.
Use it. Oh, well, maybe I should work for the Bing team. Anyway, it's got over 40 languages, it's got offline support, and it's got camera support, so you can take a picture of whatever sign.
Yeah, so I've tried a number of Spanish tutorials to prep me for many of my travels, and I've always hoped that I could have some type of translator service that I could use, and almost all of them required an internet connection.
Yeah.
So when I travel, I rarely get a SIM card that has a data plan associated with it. Mm-hmm. And if I do, then that's like a huge pain to get because I likely can't even speak the language enough to get the SIM card that I would need to translate the things that I want to ask the salesperson. So it was rather fortuitous that...
It's just a big circle of negativity right there.
that the Bing Translator app came out because ahead of time when you're in your hotel and Wi-Fi connection or you're at home before you even travel, you can download the app and you can download the language packs so that there won't need to be any internet connectivity whatsoever. So I can type in something like, I'm going to Spain this summer, and then have it translate it right in the app.
Now, does it speak for you too, so you can hear, so you can just hold it up to the...
I'm going to Spain this summer.
Do you have different voices you can choose from?
Estoy yendo a España este verano.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that was a very good translation. I think that was a more literal translation than what would people actually say. But I think that this would be really good for vocab and likely some of the other things that I haven't tried out. I also like just the way that there's a single text entry on here, and then if I type something in Spanish or something in English, I can choose which way I want it to translate.
Right.
So if I'm talking with somebody who is Spanish and they type in a word, I don't have to keep like flipping settings around of saying like, oh, I don't want this Spanish translated to Spanish, I want this Spanish translated to English.
Right.
So overall, I think that this is a really good new perspective on translation apps, and it also has this awesome camera feature where you can like hold it up to a sign or to a magazine, and it will do text recognition, pull out the text, translate the text into the language that you want it to, and then overlay that on the same image.
Wow.
So
this will come in useful. I could have used it when I was in Nolens. A lot of French speaking. It's true.
Of course.
French Quarter.
Very cool. Cool stuff. Go check it out.
All right, everybody, that's enough time. That's all we have. We got to go this week. Paul, as you know, is a very busy man. He's a world traveler. And off he goes. So one of the things we'd love to hear from you is if you have suggestions from any of the places that he's going, Barcelona, Maldives,
Maldives.
Have you seen the movie Chasing Mavericks?
No.
Oh, well, the guy...
Is that the sequel to Chasing Amy?
No. Very, very different. Anyway, the guy who it's about, it's a true story, it's about this guy who rode this giant wave called Maverick. He died at the age of 22 diving in the Maldives. So, if you could avoid that
diving activity, or surfing?
Diving.
Okay.
He was a general adventure kind of guy, but he was diving, and he died. So, I would avoid that.
Oh, well, really? Because that's like the only thing that you can do there. So.
Oh, it's just go diving?
I was hoping to get scuba certified, but maybe now I'll just hang out and read tons of books on my Kindle.
There you go, and just, you know, use your Bing app and talk to people.
Yeah.
Order cocktails in many different languages. So if you guys have suggestions for Paul, he would love to hear them.
And perhaps a more pertinent question of the week would be,
whatever.
What are your favorite new features for the new Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013?
Right. And have you ever killed a New Orleans cab driver?
If so,
God, we've had such a jam-packed show. I can't even pick a question.
So fun. Anyway, it was always a pleasure to, it's always a pleasure to be here in studio with you, Elfoy.
Thank you very much. You too. Good to have you, Paul. We'll see you hopefully next week.
Yep. Oh, my God.
You know, that's how we start to us.